our pattern on Wednesday as we've been looking at some topical series, specifically on current trends and things that are going on in our world and a Bible response to them. Tonight we're going to look at pornography, and well, we're not looking at pornography. Oh my goodness, that's not what we want to say. We're going to examine the topic of pornography and specifically what the Bible says about it. Pornography is a very serious issue in our nation and very serious issue even in people of God. And so it's something that we definitely need to deal with. Here's just a few statistics as I've done with each of these. If you can go to the next slide, please. Some statistics on pornography. 90% of children age 8 to 16 have viewed pornography. That's not just boys. It's boys and girls, 90%. The largest consumers of pornography are 12 to 17-year-old boys. Porn sites comprise 12% of the entire internet. This was a few years ago, so probably even more by now. 70% of men ages 18 to 34 visit a porn site within a typical month. On the next page, on the next slide rather, 1 in 6 women struggle with a porn addiction. $10 to $14 billion is spent on pornography annually, the same amount the U.S. government spends on foreign aid. So we spend the same amount on pornography as our government spends helping other nations. So if you think America first, let's do America first on this. 25% of all search engine requests are for pornography. 50% of pastors regularly look at porn. 38% of adults believe that porn is morally acceptable. Like I said, these statistics were a few years ago. I have later on, that statistic is even higher now. Every second, 28,258 people view pornography. Every minute, $184,500 is spent on pornography. That means right now, it's roughly 40 minutes into this service, you can imagine the millions of dollars that have been spent on pornography just since this service started. If you can go to the next slide, Pornhub is actually on Snapchat. And parents have no idea. This is a Protect Young Eyes. It's a website that helps parents be aware of some of the dangers on the internet. They said that it only took them 5 clicks to be able to connect to Pornhub. It's that easy for children to connect to these vile things. By the way, 75% of teens in the USA have Snapchat. Pornography is a serious issue. It's a few other statistics, a bit more modern, not quite in the handouts and stats on pornography. I keep looking at that and realizing that I don't have it up there. Every second, 28,258 people watch porn online. I've mentioned that. 68 million searches a day are for pornography. 25% of all searches, 1/4 of all searches that occur within a given day are for pornography. 57% of teens visit a porn site every month. The majority of teens and adults believe not recycling is worse than pornography. So the majority of teens and adults in the United States believe that you throwing your can of soda in the trash is worse than viewing pornography. Only 55% of Americans believe pornography is wrong. Nice and simply, folks, we have a pornography problem in our nation. And that's just the reality. God is very clear about his views of pornography, though. We're going to look briefly at what God says about pornography. We're going to keep it fairly simple and fairly short. We want to have plenty of time for prayer. But let's simply look at God's commands on pornography, and then we'll look at how we can get help on it. I would hope that as I'm speaking here that no one here would be under the implication or the understanding that pornography is okay in their lives. I hope no one here would expect. I hope no one here would expect that pornography is something that's acceptable in the life of the Christian, because God's word is actually very clear. We're in the book of Matthew. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 27. Matthew 5 and verse number 27. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and he's just talked about the Beatitudes. Now he jumps in Matthew 5 and verse number 27. He says this: "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right hand offend thee, or if thy right eye offend thee, rather, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." First off, God's commands on pornography, number one, is to cast it away. Get it away from you. If you're struggling with pornography, if you've even struggled at all with pornography, you need to get it far away from you. First off, the reason for that is because it affects our relationship with our family. As verse 28 says very clearly, "Whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart." Now, it's interesting that God uses the term adultery versus the term fornication, is how it's often translated in the King James Bible. The word fornication is what we get the word pornography from. It's the Greek word porneia. So, nice and simply though, God specifically chooses, Jesus of course here, chooses the term adultery. Why is that? Well, adultery specifically was the act of cheating on your spouse. And in a real sense, what Jesus is saying is he's saying if you're taking part in pornography, you are damaging your relationship with your family. You will not have the relationship with your family that you ought have if you're taking part in pornography. You're really cheating on your spouse. That's what Jesus says. You have to cast it away. You have to get it away from you. Cast it away, as verse 29 and 30 says. Just like you would cast an eye or cast your own hand. Be that serious about it. Because number one, it destroys relationships with family. I've done counseling with people that have struggled with this, and the damage that it causes to a family, and the lack of trust that takes place with a spouse when the spouse is cheating in this way. It affects your relationship with your family. Cast it away. Number two, it affects your relationship with God. Verse 29 and 30, again, in the context here of taking part in this sin of just looking with your eyes. Whoso looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Verse 29 and 30 makes it very clear how serious God views this. Look at it. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast in hell. Can I say, friends, nice and simply, God views pornography pretty seriously. If he would say, so serious, in fact, to take your eye and to cast it away, to take your hand and to chop it off, that's pretty serious. God is against this sin of pornography. He's opposed to it. Specifically, he ties it here to a sin that could cause someone to be cast into hell. Now, obviously, this doesn't override salvation or anything like that, but can I say, if we're a child of God and we're taking part in this kind of sin, there's something wrong. If God would cast people into hell, if Jesus is so strong to say, hey, it's better for you to go into heaven without an eye and without a hand, then frankly, friends, we need to view it with that kind of seriousness as well. Number one, God's commands on pornography. Number one, cast it away from you. Number two, flee from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's turn there if we can. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As I mentioned, we're going to be turning to a few passages. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we'll start in verse number 18. We'll go through the rest of the chapter in the next couple verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. It says there, the first two words are very simple. Flee fornication. Again, that word fornication is the same word we get the word pornography from. Okay, pornea is the Greek word. Flee fornication. It's any kind of sexual sin. Pornography or looking at with lust would be included. Any kind of sexual sin, though, would be included in this term fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's it saying here? It's saying nice and simply that we have to flee from this sin. Now, I catch something very interesting here. The word, the idea is to run from it, not resist it. Now, there are some sins that we should resist, right? The Bible says we should resist the devil and he flees from us, yes? The Bible says that we should resist pride in our lives. But there are some sins that are so dangerous in the Bible that God says, hey, you don't even want to fight this, just run away. Don't even be near it. Run away. Can I tell you, friends? In this case of pornography, if you're struggling with it, you need to run away. You need to hide. You need to protect yourself. There's no harm in having a filter on your internet. As a matter of fact, you should, right? There's no harm or filter in having protection and having people watching and being aware of what you view. You should do that. Run, don't just resist. Number two, not only should we run, not just resist, but number two, we should realize it. Realize specifically in verse number 18, first off, that fornication is, in a sense, more severe than other sins. Look at what verse 18 says. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What's the idea here? The idea specifically is that you are both sinning against God and you are sinning against your own body. In a real sense, you're taking part in something that, frankly, you shouldn't have any business taking part in. You're taking something that God meant to be good and holy and wholesome and taking it and twisting it into something that is evil and vile. You're going against what God intended your body for. So realize and understand the danger of it. Run, don't just resist. Realize, first off, realize the danger of it, but beyond that, realize what you're meant for. Verses 19 and 20 says it very clearly. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The idea here, very simply, is that God is there when you take part of those kind of things. By the way, can I just say, pornography isn't just looking up a porn site. If you go through the grocery store and you see an inappropriate magazine and you linger on that, you are taking part in looking with lust. Right? You go to the beach and you see someone dress as they dress at the beach and you look with lust, then you're taking part in this in a real sense. God doesn't make a distinction between X-rated and PG-rated. If you're looking with lust, it doesn't matter what's happening. You're not doing what you ought to. Number one, run from it. Don't just resist it. Number two, realize. Cast it away. Flee from it. Number three, kill it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, can we? Colossians 3 and verse number 5. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Paul speaking to the Colossian church. He's talked about how they need to set their affections and to seek after the Lord. But in verse number 5, here's what he says. Mortify. That word means put to death. Execute is the idea. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And the first one he lists is what? Fornication. Fornication. Then he goes on with some more sexual sins. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is just any kind of deviancy in that regard. Inordinate affection. That's an affection that is inappropriate. By the way, let me just say real quickly. Guys tend to not paint with a broad brush here, as we already said. Ladies struggle with pornography too, but guys tend to struggle more with pornography. Ladies tend to struggle more with inordinate affection. Having an affection that's not appropriate. Okay? If you're reading romance novels or something like that, oh, I wish my husband was like this person. Well, he's not. Okay? That's inordinate affection. And by the way, both are wrong, but in this case, we're looking at pornography. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence that's being eaten up with lust, and covetousness, which is at its root idolatry. What's he saying here? He's saying, hey, these things we have to kill in our lives. They can't exist. You cannot have pornography in your life and be walking with God. You with me? You cannot be living a life that's controlled by lust and still be walking with God. You can't do it. You can't. So we as Christians have to kill it. We have to destroy it. Specifically, why? Number one, because of our placement. Look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members. So what's he saying? He's saying, hey, one day Christ is going to appear, and when Christ appears, you're going to be with Christ. So because of that, change the way you're living that. Listen, folks, our placement is not on this earth. We can't just give in to what our flesh, what our body wants. You all with me, folks? You all with me? So whatever your body wants that it does not line up with God, you have to kill because you are serving God. You don't belong to Him. You belong there. You all with me, folks? This is not our home. That's our home. So mortify all those things. Put to death all those things that tie you to this earth, because you're not tied to this earth. You have a home in heaven. Number one, because of our placement. That's why we should kill it. Number two, because of our punishment. Look at verse number 6. He just said, mortify therefore your members. And he gave through the list. Verse number 6. For, because of this, for which things say, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. What's he saying? He's saying, number one, hey, you have a different placement. Don't take part in these things because you belong to God and you belong in heaven. You don't belong here. But number two, hey, God will punish. Because of these things, God is punishing the children of disobedience. God's punishing the unsaved. So why would we as Christians be a part of it? We can't be. We shouldn't be. Number one, our placement. Number two, our punishment. Number three, our progress. Verse number seven. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. He's saying, hey, you guys used to do this stuff. Would you not agree? Before we were saved, before you grew, would you not agree that some of these things were in our list? Certainly. Right? Yeah, certainly. But now, verse number 8, he also put up all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, you've come too far to go back to what you used to be. That's what he's saying. Can I say, friends, a Christian should not be struggling with the same stuff that the unsaved world struggles with.
Amen.
You with me? It's a whole list of statistics here of what the unsaved world struggles with. Can I say? That should not be named once among us. We should be doing that which is fitting for godliness, the Bible says. This should not be a part of us. You with me, folks? That's what he's saying. God's commands on pornography. Have I not been pretty clear? I could go on, okay? Have I not been pretty clear? Number one, to cast it away. Get it out of here. Number two, to flee from it. Don't just resist it, but flee from it. Number three, to kill it, to destroy it in our lives. Can I tell you, friend, if you are struggling with this sin of pornography, that's what you got to do. You got to get so serious about it. You got to hate it so much that every time you even think about it, every time the thought comes, it almost gets you sick to your stomach. That's what you have to do. So, some tips on pornography. When I was a youth pastor, I will say 100%, I dealt more with counseling people struggling with pornography than anything ever. Even to this day, if I took all the counseling that I've ever done in all the years of ministry that I've had, pornography is not even a competition. You know what I mean? It's not even close. Pornography probably doubles everything else. That's how much it is. So these are some thoughts that I've come up with over the years as I've helped people. Number one, if you want to have victory over pornography, number one, it takes commitment. Job 31, verse number 1 says, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. How then can I think upon a maid? What's he saying? He's saying, hey, I made a commitment. I made a promise to myself and to God that I'm not going to think that way. Friend, if you are going to have victory over pornography, if you're going to have victory over lust, you're going to have victory over how your mind tends to think. Number one, what do? You have to have a commitment to God that says, God, I'm done with this. God, I need help. Because frankly, you do need help. And by the way, anytime we have sin in our life, we need help, right? Mm-hmm. You with me? Any sin in our life. You could go through any sin at all. You need help with God. But certainly in this case, a sin that naturally is more addictive, that naturally clings to us stronger. You need help and I need help. We all need help.
Amen.
So make a commitment to God. And number two, make a commitment to yourself that you're not going to do it. Job says, hey, I made a covenant with what? My eyes. He's saying, hey, I decided between me and my eyes that I'm not going to look at XYZ. I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to think about it. If something comes in your eyes and you're like, oh, and that temptation for lust shows up in your mind, you have to shut it down so quick. You all with me, folks? So quick. Statistics say that within just a couple seconds, a temptation can become a reality. You all with me? By the way, can I just say, temptation is not sin. Right? The Bible is very clear on that in the book of James. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust, that's his desires, and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth what? Sin. So sin comes when temptation mixes with desire and we let those two go together. You with me? If you're going through Walmart, you are going to see something inappropriate.
You don't see a lot of things inappropriate, but
you're going to see something inappropriate. You with me, folks? You go through any store, you go anywhere today, you're going to see some things that are inappropriate. Right? You can't control that. You can't, unless you decide to go blind and pluck out your eyes like Matthew 5. Okay, you can't control that. Okay? You can't. But you can control how you react. You say, well, how can I, Pastor? How do I do that? By number one, making a promise and commitment to God. Hey, God, I'm not going to look about this. I'm not going to think about this. And God, I need your help to make sure it happens. But number two, making a commitment with yourself. By the way, can I just say, it's easy to say you make a commitment with yourself. It's a lot different to really commit it to yourself. You all with me, folks? Oh, I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, guess what? You end up doing it again. Right? When you really want to, I'm done with this, then you have victory. You all with me, folks? Number one, commitment. Takes commitment. Number two, takes consecration. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What's God's word saying? He's saying, hey, how do you clean up some area in your life? Obviously, pornography is something that young men struggle with. And perhaps here David was referring specifically to this sin. We don't know. Really, it's any kind of sin. It's any kind of anything. But how can someone cleanse the way that they're going? by the word. You have victory over sin by the word. It's been said so many times, it's almost cliche now. But this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You've heard it, right? But the reality is, when you're in the word, then you tend to have better victory than when you're not in the word. One thing that I always asked when a teenager would come up to me and say, "Hey, I'm struggling with this," or when I was teaching, and one of my students would say something to that effect, I always ask, one of the first questions I ask is, "Hey, are you in God's Word? Are you reading the Bible?" I've never, never had anyone come to me and say, "Yeah, I'm reading the Bible, but I'm involved in pornography." Not once. Not once. No, could it happen? Well, sure, maybe. I'm going to get to that in a second. You've got to be paying attention to the word. It's more than just reading it, paying attention to it. But can I say, there's something about being in the Word of God to where sin doesn't naturally want to stick to us too much. Eventually, you're either going to stop sinning or you're going to stop being in the Word, because frankly, you're going to be smacked in the face too many times to keep doing it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Right? If you're actively reading the Word of God, okay, and the Holy Spirit is in you, and you are a child of God, you are going to be convicted. Right? And you can only put up with that for so long before you're like, "Okay, I'm either going to stop the way I'm acting, or I'm going to stop reading." You with me? It cleanses our way. It cleanses the direction that we're going. Number one, be in the Word, but it goes beyond that. It's not just being in the Word, because frankly, anyone can read a verse. Anyone can read a chapter. It's paying attention to the Word of God. It's when God directs us to do something that we do it. As the verse says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his what?
Way.
Not his step. His way, his path, the direction that he's going. How do we cleanse the direction we're going? We cleanse it, catch it folks, by paying attention each step to what God says. The New Testament says it this way: walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You go in each step of the way, you go and do what God says and do how God directs you, and guess what? You're going to find you're not doing all the fleshly things anymore because you're walking with the Lord. How do we have victory? Some tips. Number one, it takes commitment. Number two, it takes consecration. Number three, it takes a concern. We already looked at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 18. It says, flee fornication. We didn't have time to look at Proverbs 5. And Proverbs 5 was written specifically by Solomon to his son. By the way, Solomon, frankly, really blew it in this area. Okay? But Solomon's writing to his son, and he tells him to remove himself from the strange woman, from the woman that draws in with lust. To avoid her house, to stay away from it all the way through the chapter, Proverbs chapter 5. He goes and over and over again talks about these two young men. One that kind of tends to go over that direction, and another that tends to stay away, and how that one that tends to go over that direction is going to fall and is going to be trapped. Can I tell you folks, there's certain aisles that you will not see the pastor going down. In the grocery store. You go with me, folks? I don't go that down the magazine aisle. Right? You know why? Because there's inappropriate magazines in the magazine aisle. In fact, you say, "Well, you know, in the magazine aisle, they don't sell, you know, Playboy or whatever." No, they don't, but they sell enough stuff that it's pretty bad. You go with me, folks? I don't need to be seeing someone else in a bathing suit. I got my wife. Okay? You go with me, folks? I don't need that. I don't need that. And I'm afraid we become too familiar with these things. And so it's just natural that we get sucked into it. We're like the young man that walks so long and goes down the road to the lustful woman's house, and we're surprised that we're trapped by the lustful woman. You with me, folks? Avoid it. Avoid it. How do you have victory? Number one, it takes commitment. Number two, it takes consecration. Number three, it takes concern. Avoid it. Flee fornication. Number four, it takes cooperation. One last passage. Let's turn to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Can we? Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes. Genesis, Exodus, Ecclesiastes. All right? I'm just kidding. It's after Proverbs. Okay? Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. You were like, really? Genesis, Exodus, Ecclesiastes. Oh! Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And verse number 9. Very familiar verse. Probably one of the more familiar verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. But here's what it says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. He's talking about synergy. How if two people are pulling something, they're actually more effective than one plus one. Right? If I went and I pulled something, for example, I had a rope and I tried to pull something, I might be able to pull X number of pounds. You know, someone else might be able to pull X number of pounds. But if we both do it together, we not just pull X plus X, we pull X times X. That's the idea. Verse number 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But catch it. What's the next phrase? Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. You see what that verse is saying? That verse is saying very simply that we need each other. And that if there's a struggle, if there's an addictive behavior, if there's something that is clinging to us, and certainly I would say all of those things would be characteristic of pornography, then we need cooperation to have victory. Y'all with me? We need other people to help us and to encourage us and to straighten us out and sometimes slap us upside the head, right? To get us right. You're with me, folks? Am I making sense here? Amen. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. That's the positive side. Verse 10, the negative side. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him when he falleth and hath not another to lift him up. It takes cooperation. Listen, folks, I'm not naive enough to think that some people in this room are not struggling with pornography. Statistics state that at least somebody in this room is. Frankly, probably several people. So how do you have victory? Hopefully these kind of give some guidance. Let me just say one more thing real quick, okay? If we can go to the next slide. There are multiple tools out there that can help you if you're struggling. By the way, can I just say, this is not just for people that are struggling with it, this is for people that want to avoid it. You all with me, folks? Okay? So this is not like, oh, I'm struggling with pornography, so, you know, I'm gonna get these things. No, that's not just the case, okay? This might be something that, hey, I don't even want to be near it, I don't even want to be tempted by it. You all with me, folks? So we're gonna be careful. These are two that I would recommend. There's lots of them out there, but these are two that I would recommend. First off, Covenant Eyes. Let me real quick summarize. It can be used on all devices for one low fee. So you get Covenant Eyes, you can use it on your computer, on your phone, on anything. Okay, on your computer at work, on anything like that. Okay, you can just set it up and it takes care of it. Okay, creates and sends accountability reports with any issues to a trusted accountability partner. That's a spouse, a parent, me, whoever. Okay, and you can set up who that would be. Right. So basically, what it does in summary. Is if you went and you looked up a pornographic site, then it instantly sends a report to your accountability partner. Right? And you can set what level that is between you and the accountability partner. Does that make sense? So it would instantly send a report, and then someone goes and says, hey, you know, hey, I saw you just looked up this, or you had, you know, something about that. Right? I've used this. It's effective. Number 3. It uses regular screenshots combined with machine learning to detect inappropriate content. It filters clearly explicit sites, but not by not allowing the websites to even pull up. So some sites obviously are clearly inappropriate, certain pornographic sites, that's what they do. Other sites are, okay, well, this is a possibility within the site, right? And so it kind of filters out some of it. So, for example, Craigslist has inappropriate things on it, right? So it'll catch flags in there. You can still use Craigslist, but it'll catch flags. If certain flags are showing up, then it'll still send them. Okay? And it blocks Incognito and other untraceable browser extensions. So Covenant Eyes is a great one. Bark is also a good one, especially for families that have kids. It can be used on unlimited numbers of devices for one fee. Again, something that I appreciate. Tracks mental health concerns, that is, cyberbullying, things like that, explicit content, etc., within messaging, text, and hundreds of apps. So it can actually see things, for example, if someone from school is bullying your child or something like that, then it'll actually track that, and again, it sends a report to the parent. Notifies parent or accountability partner of potential issues. It does have screen time controls, so you can set up screen time controls for your kids. You know, they can only be on so many hours of screen time or whatever, or even screen time specifically related to certain apps. They can only be on social media for an X number of time. It's especially good at filtering social media and other filters that other filters can sometimes struggle to detect. Specifically, I would say Bark is very good with Snapchat. Okay? Young people especially. Snapchat is scary, folks. Snapchat is scary. It literally, as part of its purpose, when you send something, it deletes it within a period of time, and it's gone. You can't see it. That is like sexting on purpose. You with me? Snapchat's scary to me. I don't have Snapchat. I will never have Snapchat. Okay? If your kids have Snapchat, that's between you and the Lord, obviously. But you, if you have allowed your kids to have Snapchat, you need to have something like Mark that makes sure that things are not inappropriate. Because it will actually make sure. Does that make sense? You trust your kids enough to have Snapchat, you have to have something like this. That's where I use it. Okay? These are just things that help, guys. Okay? Obviously, there's a lot of other filters out there. Some of them, there are lots of good things, okay? But these are two that I have used in ministry in the past, and they're effective, and they're helpful. And so these would be two that I recommend. Okay? I hope this helped. Every time I say I'm going to go short, I go long. But I hope this has helped. Okay? I hope this has really helped. This is, listen, folks, this is something that we have to be aware of. We have to guard. We have to guard. For ourselves, for our families, all of it. We have to guard these things. So let me encourage you with these things. Be aware of this. If you're struggling with something, be honest about it. Find help. Okay? Find help. If you come to me, I'm not going to judge you about it. Okay? I'm not going to blab it. I'm not going to do any of that, but I want to help you. I want to help you. So if you're struggling with something, come to me, come to Becky, say, hey, this is going on in our family, and we need help with this. We'd be glad to help you. Find another accountability partner that you can just be honest about and just work with. Be honest about it and deal with this. Don't let God's hand be taken off you and not you not used in the way He wants you to because of this sin. Do what's right. Let's close in prayer if we can, and then we'll break up into groups. If you can, have two people from each group pray. That's great. If you got to go, I understand. It is getting late and getting dark, certainly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your word, Lord, that it is so applicable. So applicable. Lord, in a world that we have more access than perhaps any generation has ever had to inappropriate content, help us as your children to stay pure, stay clean, to avoid those things that are destructive, that would hurt our walk with you. God, help us to be honest about it, and help us, especially if we're struggling with this, to find help, to follow some of these patterns, but more than that, to cooperate together, one with another, because as your word says, woe to him that falleth if he doesn't have someone there. God, give grace and help in this area. Father, help our families, our homes, our marriages to be healthier because of what we've heard tonight. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. All right, let's break up into groups.